It's a real honor and a pleasure to be able to introduce Sister Reeder this morning, Sister Bertha Stone Reeder. Sister Reeder has dedicated her life to church service. She was born in Ogden. At 17, she was called to the State Board of the Sunday School. She served for 5 years as president of the Young Women's Mutual Improvement Association in the Ogden 8th Ward, and for 10 years she was primary stake president of the Mount Ogden Stake. Her husband, Judge William H. Reeder, Jr., she and her husband were called to preside over the New England States Mission for 5.5 years. And shortly after their return, Sister Reeder was elected first vice president of the Weber County Daughters of the Utah Pioneers. In April of 1948, which is 11.5 years ago, she was called by the first presidency to be the president of the Young Women's Mutual Improvement Association of the Church. She has 2 sons and a daughter. She's most sincerely interested in young people, particularly young women. And if you know Sister Reeder, you always know where she stands on things. She's a very modest person. We had to put pressure on her to get her down here this morning, I think you should know. She's strong for the principles of the gospel. Those who work with Sister Reeder are intensely loyal to her. You'll be interested to know that she still has her original counselors that she chose 11.5 years ago. She's a tireless worker. We have been on several trips at his groups of us together. And we haven't found anyone yet that can keep up with her. So it's a pleasure to introduce to you Sister Reeder, the president of the Young Women's Mutual Improvement Association in all the church.
I don't know how Brother Bentley found out so much about me. Brothers and sisters and students, I'm so happy to be here this morning. I didn't want to come at first because I'm frightened to death. But I'm so happy to come and see these wonderful students and to see you people that are doing such wonderful work here. Today being Women's Week, I would like to talk mostly to our young, sweet girls. And then I do have a little message for the boys. Well, today, because it is Women's Week at the Y, I would like to talk about 3 things. First, that it is wonderful to live now at this time of the world's history. That it is more wonderful to be a woman living now. And third, that it is most wonderful to be a Latter-day Saint woman living now. Not long ago, I heard a group of teenage girls talking. And they were bemoaning the fact they were forced to live in this day, an age when there was no peace, and when the threat of atom bombs or germ warfare and similar dreadful possibilities made life so precarious. They were upset because all the boys were leaving or had left to go into the service. In case of any of you have felt the same way, I should like to have you visualize for a moment what life would be like without the discoveries which we take as commonplace today. Imagine, if you can, life without radio and television, without a daily newspaper and magazines, without our canned foods and frozen foods. Some of you are parents and all of you hope to be someday. Can you imagine what life would be like when illness struck your children and there was no antibiotics or vaccines to help combat the disease? There was a time in the world's history when the average ratio of children's death was over 50%. Would you have liked to live then? Those of you girls who have young men away in the armed forces or on missions, would you have liked to live in a day when you might not hear from them in any way for months or even years? When you had no knowledge of whether they were well or whether they were even alive? Would you, like young woman, have liked to live in an age when no girls had an opportunity for education beyond the 8th grade? And when most of the schools had all 8 grades in one room with one teacher and few, if any, books? Would you have liked to live in a time when the only profession open to you was that of a housekeeper, a cook, or a maid? Let us face the facts, then, that it is good to live now. Let us face the responsibility of this age, knowing that it has compensating attributes. How glorious to live in a time when we can see and hear in person our general authorities, when we can read very soon after they have given them their wise words of wisdom and advice, and when we can see them on television and hear them on the radio, even though we may live miles from the spot where they're giving their talks. It is good to be alive now, and it is even better to be a woman in this day and age. Of course, the young men present will take exception to such a sweeping statement, but let me tell you why I make it. Opportunities for women were never greater than now. You young women can have as much education as the young men, and as many opportunities for vocations and employment. No doors are closed to you today because you are a woman. The only thing that could limit your advancement is yourself. One poet has described woman thus: to chase the clouds of life's tempestuous hours, to strew its short but weary way with flowers, new hopes to raise, new feelings to impart, and pour celestial balsam on the heart. For this to man was lovely woman given, the last best work, the noblest gift of heaven. To you young women comes the glorious opportunity of being mothers, the choicest career of all. You will mold the young men and young women of tomorrow with today's opportunities, and you will make of them even finer young people than you are. As mothers, you will be with your children almost 24 hours a day, especially when they are in their most formative years. You can set their habits and their goals. Their language and actions will mirror yours. As the poet said, I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past. The bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it still it bore, and I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when years were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress wore, and I could change him nevermore. So you young women will have the power to mold your children. One of the world's great teachers has said, within each child's environment lies the means of educating him, and with the parents, whether rich or poor, learned or simple, rest the privilege and responsibility of so ordering the home that it becomes for their children the greatest educational institution in the world. Men and women are what they are because the home either trained them in the right way or failed in that responsibility. The school cannot remodel the child who has been given a wrong start at home. And so, young women, you will have the wonderful opportunity of molding the young people of the future. And we won't mention this to the young men, but you'll also have the opportunity of soothing some of their corners too, and in case they have corners. Third, it is most wonderful to be a Latter-day Saint woman today, in today's world. It is the greatest thing in my life to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and to be able to share the priesthood with my husband, to know what it means to have the benefits of the priesthood in my home. Elsie Talmadge Brandley, in her book, Hello Life, tells of the time she was traveling on a train and conversed with a fellow traveler who offered her first a smoke, then a drink, and then a chance to play cards. Rennie, she refused all of these, the young traveler said in exasperation. Don't you have any fun? Don't you ever have a thrill? Sister Brandley thought a moment and then said that she would like to tell a thrill she had had. Isolated on a Canadian farm one severe winter, she awoke during a bitterly cold night to hear the baby gasping for breath because of a sudden and violent attack of bronchitis. When she saw the baby's contorted face, she knew that she must be dying and that before a doctor could be summoned or a wood fire started and water boiled for steam in the room, the child would be dead. Then it was that her husband, holding the holy priesthood of God, laid his hands upon the baby's head and blessed her that she might overcome the choking mucus and live. As he took his hands from the baby, the color came back into her face, and gratefully she relaxed into peaceful sleep. That, said Sister Brandley, was my greatest thrill. Even the hardened traveler admitted that it was a real thrill when compared to her momentary, seemingly thrills or joys. As young women, you have the great opportunity which this church affords to all of its members, all that of leadership in the various organizations of the church. The preparation at the Brigham Young University for this type of leadership is wonderful, and each of you should go back into your wards and branch a better and more effective leader. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is ample opportunity for everyone to develop her talents and to share these talents with others. And to you who remain faithful to the end has also been promised the great reward of becoming queens with your husbands to rule over the worlds to be. No women in all the world have the opportunities and promises that you young women have. Great blessings predicated upon your ability to live the gospel and keep the commandments of our Heavenly Father. I often think of the story of man who was driving down a road which was smooth and beautiful. He was thoroughly enjoying himself, and suddenly he came upon a sign which said, "Brought a bad road ahead for the next 20 miles. Choose your rut now." You are now at the end of the pavement and about to take off on roads of your own choosing. Be sure to choose the right road, because it is very difficult if you find you have chosen the wrong road to get back onto the right road. My husband was president of the New England Mission, and we saw many boys and girls led astray because they had not followed the admonition of the Savior when he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Many of the young people, as they tried to find the road they wished to travel for the rest of their life, found most easily the gate that leadeth to destruction. One girl went to New England to study, and she took the attitude that she wanted to see what the world had to offer. Her folks were good members of the church and felt she was strong enough to resist temptation. But she was going to nightclubs, not attending church, and was doing everything to help in her downfall. Her folks became worried about her and wrote us asking us to find and help her. We hunted for quite a long while, and when we did find her, she said she was tired of doing the same old things she had always done, and now that she was away from home, she wanted to be left alone. About a year later, we received a call from the hospital asking us to come and see this girl who was a patient and very ill. Two elders and I went. When she saw us, she began to cry and tell us what she had done that was wrong. Finally, she asked if she might have a blessing, since the doctors had told her she might not live. We talked to her for a while and learned how truly repentant she was for having gotten so far away from the church. The elders administered to her, and how grateful she was for the blessing she had formerly shunned. She got better miraculously soon, and the doctors told her they could not understand the change that had taken place. As soon as she was well enough, the girl came back to church and began working as a Sunday school teacher. Even Now, every time we see her, she thanks us for helping her back on the straight road. How fortunate you young people are, who through your training here at the Y and in your home wards know and enjoy the straight road. How fortunate you young people are to belong to the church, which is one of its beliefs, the obeying of the word of wisdom, the law that will lead to more happiness, beauty of face and character, more knowledge and more wisdom. Some people will call you peculiar because you don't use the same creed, the niacin, as the other churches. They will ask, why is it wrong to smoke or drink a little? We know why it is wrong and can show others through our lives the results of living this law. Now to the young man, I would like to tell a true story of a good Latter-day Saint boy who was proud to be a Mormon. A boy from Idaho went to Boston to attend MIT, and he graduated with honors as a scientist. He was looking for work before being called into the service of his country. One day he saw an ad in the papers asking for young men to work for Polaroid. He came and asked my husband what he thought about his applying. They decided he should. When he arrived at the Polaroid company, there were 16 boys ahead of him. And he thought, what chance have I? The secretary handed him a questionnaire to fill out. The first question was, to what religion do you belong? He knew that Boston was 76% Catholics and that they didn't like Mormons. And he knew that if he put the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or the LDS Church, that they would not know which church he belonged to. And he knew that if he put Mormon, he would not get the position. Well, he answered all the rest of the questions, and he came back to the first question, and he said to himself, well, I'm a Mormon, and I'm proud of it, so why not put it down? And he wrote, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And in parentheses, he wrote Mormon. He settled down to wait, not thinking he'd get the position. And in a few minutes, the secretary came and called him into the office of the president of Polaroid. And he was very much surprised because the other 16 boys were ahead of him. The president greeted him and said to him, so you're a Mormon? And he said, yes, sir. And he said, do you pay your tithing? He said, yes, sir. He said, do you keep the word of wisdom? And he said, yes, sir. He said, do you attend church regularly? And he said, yes, sir. And then the president said, and you're 2,700 miles away from your home and your church headquarters, and you still go to do as your church requires of you? And he said, yes, sir. He said, well, you're the boy we want. He was so surprised, he wondered why he had asked him these questions. And the president said to him, 5 years ago, I visited Salt Lake City, and I went to see your President Grant, and he told me what you believed and explained your word of wisdom. And he said, it's perfectly wonderful. And he said, I keep your word of wisdom, all but drinking coffee, and I'd be much better off if I didn't drink coffee. Well, this brother was sent to England. This was in 1945 when the war was on. And he was given a large expense account. And he was gone 18 months. And while there, he helped with many inventions that were used by the boys. And then he came home. And when he got home, he went to the president to report and to return the rest of the money that was left from the expense account. And the president said to him, Mr. Rommel, I've never heard of anyone coming back with any money left from the expense account. Usually, they spend it and ask for more. He said, didn't you ever buy a drink for any of the boys in the service? He said, no, sir. I didn't believe in drinking, and I wasn't going to encourage them to drink. He said, didn't you ever buy them a cigar or cigarettes? He said, no, sir. I didn't smoke, and I wasn't going to buy them for them. And he said, you've been true to your church. You've been true to the company. and I'm going to give the money that you brought back to you to take your wife on a vacation. Girls and boys, suppose he hadn't said he was a Mormon. Never be ashamed to say you're a Mormon. Be proud of it. It's the greatest thing can ever happen to you. Yes, it is wonderful to be a Latter-day Saint woman with all the possibilities of marriage for time and eternity. It is wonderful to be worthy to enter the temple. What joy and peace of mind we have when we know that our families will be reunited after death, that we will live again as husband and wife. Elder Mark E. Peterson said in one of his sermons, "Temple marriage is as essential to exaltation as baptism is to becoming a member of the church, because eternal marriage is an order of the priesthood. Temple marriage saves us here from troubles of broken homes and in eternity from being held back." Brother Bentley was telling me today how wonderful you young people are in not dancing together all the time, but changing partners and setting the example for the rest of the world. We've worked so hard to try and get our boys and girls to dance with everyone, and you are doing it. God bless you. There is nothing, young women and young men, that can bring you the joy you will find in truly living the gospel of Jesus Christ. Joy here and in eternities to come. May each of you live up to your wonderful heritage and possibilities. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.